Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for joining us today, both here at the Palais des Nations in Geneva and online, for the launch of ITU's latest Facts and Figures report. This year's edition of Facts and Figures features new data on the evolution of global connectivity over the 2 years of the COVID pandemic, with some particularly interesting findings. Today's briefing will begin with opening remarks by Doreen Bogdan-Martin, Director of ITU's Telecommunication Development Bureau, followed by some remarks by UNDESA Assistant Secretary General for Policy Coordination and Interagency Affairs, who is also officer in charge of the Office of the Secretary General's Envoy on Technology, and that is Maria Francesca Spato-Lisano. And this will be followed by a presentation of Facts and Figures 2021 by Doreen Bogdan-Martin, who, as I say, is Director of ITU's Telecommunication Development Bureau. At the end of the presentation, we will open the floor to your questions, and we have our stats team here who will be able to do a deep dive into any specific queries that you might have about the data. So to start us off, I would now like to hand the floor to Doreen Bogdan-Martin, who is the Director of ITU's Telecommunication Development Bureau, which produces this important report each year. Doreen, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Max. So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to our media representatives that are joining us from around the world today. As director of ITU's Telecommunications Development Bureau, the compilation, the analysis, and the release of our annual facts and figures is an incredibly important activity because we know that our sister agencies, our 193 member states, and our global private sector membership, comprising more than 900 companies, our academic institutions, and our NGOs, set an enormous store in our statistical snapshot of the state of digital development worldwide. For me, having been involved in this area of ITU's work for more than 20 years, I think it's really great to see the global interest that our data on digital connectivity now generates. Back at the turn of the millennium, most of our figures and our indicators related to telephone penetration, but we were looking at the numbers of fixed lines per country, so that kind of thing. While there was, of course, a solid level of interest from the technical press, that data was often pretty niche. Much of the mainstream media were not so interested in the significance of phone penetration figures, despite the fact that there has always been a strong correlation between the number of phone lines and a country's level of development. But that was a link that was not made by many. Things then began to change as mobile telephony took off, particularly when mobile phones began being used for other kinds of applications like mobile payments and as platforms for new kinds of business models. Suddenly, it seemed more obvious that digital platforms could impact national development. And of course, if we fast forward to 2021, where talk of AI and augmented reality metaverse and an internet of everything is on everyone's lips, and where the percentage of the population with access to fast, affordable online services correlates very closely with the level of economic development and prosperity. The reality is that digital actually underpins everything. Falling prices for equipment and services, technological advances, the regulatory environment, among other factors, mean that digital platforms are making steady inroads in areas of particular relevance to developing countries, areas like agriculture, areas like education, environmental management, healthcare, while at the same time opening opportunities for employment and entrepreneurship. With almost 2 years of extraordinary disruption caused by COVID-19, the new figures that we're releasing today reveal the impact of the pandemic on the digital landscape. For me, they confirm ITU's message loud and clear, which is that in our increasingly digital world, our increasingly interconnected world, digital is no longer just a technology divide. It's an opportunity divide. In our presentation today, there is some good news, but there's also a warning of what our world could look like if we don't work harder. If I sound optimistic, it's because I believe that these figures actually show us what can be achieved given the political will and also the commitment to cooperation. It shows us that we are in the driver's seat, that the vision of a connected planet is a choice that we can make. Next year, ITU will be launching a pledging platform to support our Partner to Connect initiative. This initiative will be one of the centerpieces of our forthcoming ITU World Telecommunications Development Conference. And the reason for that is simple. COVID has pushed connectivity to the top of every national agenda. And for me, that means that we have truly a once-in-a-generation opportunity to use digital technology and the power of multi-stakeholder partnerships to rewrite the global development agenda and to get the SDGs back on track. We at the ITU are determined to do everything in our power to help the world seize that chance. Max, back to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doreen. It now gives me great pleasure to hand the floor over to Maria Francesca Spatolisano, who is Assistant Secretary General for Policy Coordination and Interagency Affairs in the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, also known as UNDESA, and Officer in Charge of the Office of the Secretary General's Envoy on Technology. Maria Francesca, I see you're there, so please, the floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It is my great pleasure indeed. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. And thank you for inviting me to join the launch of this important new statistics on the state of digital connectivity and development. We all know the saying, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it, develop it, or improve it. And this is certainly true in much of the United Nations work to address global challenges and to achieve the sustainable development goals, as Doreen just said. Especially now, as we have seen firsthand how much the COVID pandemic has reinforced our reliance on digital technologies, our efforts to bridge digital divides and bring universal connectivity must be based on strong evidence. ITU's annual figures on digital access and use across countries, regions, and demographics are thus essential and the foundation on which much of the United Nations work rests. These are also invaluable information and knowledge for national governments and the fast-growing digital sector as they look to their own policies, programs, and strategies. These figures help us understand how much has been accomplished and how much remains to be done, especially in achieving the Secretary General's roadmap for digital cooperation and its target of achieving universal, meaningful, and affordable connectivity by 2030, and also for tracking progress on several SDGs. I congratulate ITU Director Doreen Bogdan-Martin and her team for their invaluable efforts to provide us all with solid benchmarks on which we can base our digital development strategies, especially as we reflect on the last 2 years and how COVID has brought irrevocable changes in our digital world. This data will be especially crucial and indispensable in shaping our policy reflections and the way forward. I look forward indeed to hearing Doreen's presentation on this year's important findings, and I thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Maria Francesca Spatolisano. I would now like to hand the floor to Doreen Bogdan-Martin, who will present ITU's Facts and Figures Report. Thank you.
Thank you, Max, and thank you, Assistant Secretary General. So let's dive into the findings. I think you all know that ITU's slogan is committed to connecting the world. But as the Assistant Secretary has just mentioned, we can't close the digital divide if we can't measure it. And we cannot connect the unconnected if we don't know who they are, where they live, and why they remain offline. Perhaps most critically of all, we cannot evaluate the success of our policies to bridge the gap without having solid, reliable, and impartial data. Through a set of unique and timely statistics, ITU's Facts and Figures sheds light on multiple facets of the evolving nature of the digital divide. It also takes stock of progress towards closing it. This annual publication serves as a powerful advocacy tool, helping to put digital development at the top of the agenda for policymakers and for the global development community. So let's start with arguably the most important figure from this year's report, that there are 4.9 billion, I repeat, 4.9 billion people who have used the internet and have connected to the internet in 2021. Between 2019 and 2021, effectively, meaning during the years of the COVID pandemic, 782 million additional people used the internet, which is an increase of 17%. As a result, the share of the world population that has used the internet increased from 54% in 2019 to 63% in 2021. During the same time frame, internet use increased by more than 20% in Africa, in the Asia Pacific, and in the least developed countries. In 2020 alone, growth in internet use was 10%, the largest increase in a decade. Growth in developing countries was 13%. And in 2021, growth will be around 6%, which is actually in line with pre-crisis rates. This boost in global connectivity comes as good news, but, and I stress but, we cannot be complacent because there are still 2.9 billion people on this planet who have never, ever gone online. On top of that, of the 4.9 billion that we count as connected, many millions are not what we would call meaningfully connected. They certainly do not enjoy the kind of connectivity that all of us here today take for granted. Many may be connected only intermittently, for example, on a shared device. Many may struggle with connectivity speeds that severely limit the usefulness of their connection. And of course, many may simply not be able to afford to connect on a regular basis. This year's figures show us that the internet divide runs deep between developed and developing countries. And it is concerning to note that 96% of the 2.9 billion that have never, ever accessed the internet live in the developing world. And to further illustrate the divide, this slide shows the share of people using the internet in each region. And I would just simply note that you have regional categories based on ITU development regions. And so Africa excludes Northern Africa, and we have them in what we call the Arab states. So as you see, only a third of the population in Africa is using the internet. In Europe, the share is almost 90%, which is a gap between those two regions of almost 60 percentage points. And there is what the UN Secretary General has called in his common agenda, a Grand Canyon, a connectivity Grand Canyon, separating the digitally empowered from the digitally excluded. So what are the real reasons behind this Grand Canyon? Well, let's look first at access. By access, we mean the possibility of connecting to the internet, effectively the availability of the infrastructure. As we see on this chart, 95% of the world's population actually lives within range of a mobile broadband network, that is 3G or higher. And therefore, they could connect to the internet. That indicates what we term the access divide is slowly being bridged. Of course, blind spots remain. In total, some 390 million people remain out of range of a mobile broadband signal. In Africa as a whole, 18% of the population is still not covered by a mobile broadband network, and that figure jumps to 30% when we look at rural areas of the continent. In LDCs, 17% of the population is without a signal, which means 83% can actually access a signal, but only one in four is connected. So that means that we are still falling far behind of achieving our SDG 9C target, which was set to achieve universal and affordable access to the internet in LDCs by 2020. So as we see here, 95% of the world's population could, in theory, access the internet, but only 63% do. So why? That's the question. Because beyond simple access, there are many other barriers keeping people from going online, including lack of knowledge, lack of skills, digital skills, challenges around affordability, and lack of relevant local content in local languages. And I'll come back to that in a moment. For now, let's take a quick look at demographics of those that are online, and perhaps more importantly, those that are offline. It is critical for designing focused, targeted interventions and effective policies and investment decisions. Our data reveals several divides across different demographic groups within countries, and let's start first with gender. So globally, 62% of men use the internet compared with 57% of women. So the gender gap stands at 5 percentage points, which means that since 2018, it's only been reduced by 1 percentage point. With gender digital parity largely being achieved in some of the world's most developed countries, as we see at the bottom of the infographic, the digital gender gap is still very much present in other regions. For instance, in the LDCs, only 1 in 5 women, 19%, actually use the internet compared with 1 in 3 men. Now let's turn to the generational gap. Globally, 71% of youth, and we define youth here, aged 15 to 24, use, or I could say have used, the internet compared with 57% of all other age groups. And if we take a regional perspective, the generational gap is the largest in Asia, where almost 3/4 of youth aged 15 to 24 use the internet compared with just half of the rest of the population. The greater uptake among young people, I think, bodes well for connectivity in developing countries, indicating that the workforce in these countries will become more connected and digitally savvy as the younger generation joins its ranks. And I think this could substantially improve development prospects. But before we move to the next slide, I do want to quickly note, and this comes back to my comment about complacency, that having 71% of youth using the internet does not mean that all of them have a working connection at home. In fact, as reported in a recent ITU UNICEF report, 2/3 of children and young people aged 25 years or less did not have sufficient fixed internet access at home during 2020, which caused huge challenges when lockdowns began and on learning essentially went online. So that has caused a huge crisis in education with many kids being left behind. Being obliged to access the world via a phone and maybe a slower connection clearly compromises young people's ability to leverage the internet for important applications, as I mentioned, for e-learning. Location is actually also another important determinant of an individual's digital status. As we see on this slide, people in urban areas are twice as more likely to use the internet than those in rural areas. And in landlocked developing countries, urban dwellers are almost four times as likely to use the internet as those living in rural areas. So 63% versus 18%. And that brings me to the issue of cost, the issue of affordability, which is a huge challenge. Closing the digital divide is going to mean much more than simply getting everyone online. As digital platforms and services become ever more sophisticated, the digital divide is increasingly defined by people's ability to make meaningful use of that connectivity. And as I mentioned before, there are many barriers, and one of the big barriers is affordability. The Broadband Commission has set a target for 2025, stipulating that entry-level broadband services should cost less than 2% of monthly income. And in almost half of the economies for which data exists, that target has not yet been met. In the LDCs, the average cost of the cheapest plan is equivalent to about 6% of monthly income. And indeed, in 39 of the 43 LDCs where we had sufficient data, 39 of them are above this 2% target. So this is really an area where regulatory reform can play a powerful role. We've set out a number of best practice guidelines to help regulators and policymakers to further promote market growth and inclusion. And it's also a space where we've been ramping up our work in digital innovation to try to help countries build sustainable digital ecosystems and to really develop homegrown technologies and content adapted to the needs of their populations. So before concluding, just quickly some highlights on what the ITU is doing to address these many barriers and to promote universal meaningful connectivity. We have our GIGA initiative with UNICEF to connect every school in the world to the internet and every young person to information, opportunity, and choice. We have our digital transformation centers, where we're rolling out centers around the globe to tap into the challenges around digital literacy and digital skills. We have our GovStack program and our smart villages, where we use this whole of government approach based on interoperable digital building blocks that can help governments and communities to rapidly and flexibly scale up shared digital services. We have our Equals program with over 100 partners. We work with UN Women and many others to really tackle the digital gender gap. We have our Partner to Connect initiative that I mentioned previously, focusing on the least developed, landlocked developing countries and SIDS to bring partners together, make pledges and commitments so that we can make progress in closing the gap. And of course, next year we have our big development conference where we hope to leverage the global attention around connectivity in the wake of the pandemic and really to redraw the global connectivity agenda and unlock the use of ICTs as a catalyst to achieve the SDGs. And of course, we continue to expand and develop our work in digital statistics and analysis. And I wanted to quickly mention, especially as ASG is with us, in the context of the implementation of the UNSG's roadmap for digital cooperation, we are working with other partners to develop a baseline and targets to allow countries to track progress towards achieving universal and meaningful connectivity. I will stop there. Sorry to be long, but much to report with our new facts and figures. So back over to you, Max. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Doreen. And now we have a few minutes left for questions. So if you'd like to ask a question, please raise your hand either physically or virtually. And when invited, just indicate your name, of course, and your media outlet. In the room and virtually, we have still, of course, Doreen Bogdan-Martin, who will be able to answer questions here, ASG, Maria Francesca Spatolisano, as well as Serena Abdullah, who is the Chief Digital Knowledge Hub Department. And we also have, for questions on methodology, will also be answered by Thierry Geiger, Senior Economist and Head of ICT Data and Analytics Division, and Martin Schaefer, who is our Senior ICT Analyst. So don't hesitate to ask questions. And I see the first question here is from Catherine Fianken. Perhaps you could please go ahead, Catherine.
Yeah, my name is Catherine Fianken-Bokonga. I'm in Geneva. I work for France 24, French TV. Madame Doreen Bogdan-Martin, thank you for being with us. Would you be kind enough to send as soon as possible your introductory remarks, because they were very interesting and it would help us to receive them as soon as possible. Thank you so much. My question is the following one. As you know, as an expert, you know that it's not new that there's a huge gap between developing and developed countries in that domain. How do you explain that through the years, with all the efforts made by ITU and the governments, the gap has not been able to be filled? Where is the problem? Thank you.
Can I? Thank you. Thank you so much, Catherine, for the question. And of course, very happy to share with you the intro remarks. Of course, we can go back to 2003 and 2005, the World Summit on the Information Society, and think about the commitments that were made by governments at that time, many of which had target dates of 2015. And of course, those commitments were not met. I would say that this is because connectivity has always been viewed as a nice to have, and it actually took a global pandemic to give us this connectivity boost and actually put connectivity at the top of national agendas. So I think this is the first time that we are seeing, and I think that's why we have this boost that I hope can continue. We're seeing governments put connectivity at the top of the agenda. And governments putting in place digital strategies that encompass a whole of government approach. So it's no longer sort of siloed thinking, it's holistic approaches. And I think that this can work, but we do continue to have challenges with affordability of services, affordability of devices, the skills piece, even the security piece. So there are still a number of obstacles, barriers that we must tackle together to really get to that remaining 2.9 billion, which are, of course, the hardest to connect. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Doreen. Thank you, Catherine, for that question. Are there any more questions? I think we have somebody here physically in the room. Just one second. We're going to give you a microphone. Bear with us one second so everybody can hear the question. Thank you.
Thank you, yes. Boris Engelson, a local journalist, freelance. Beyond what my colleague referred to, the well-known and basic indicator about the digital gap, which has been at the focus of your report from the start, what is it actually that you try to see and understand about the world through this kind of report? I have not read the report yet, but for instance, for 50 years, television was the main channel for access to information for the people of the world, even in the poorest favelas. Is it part of your mandate, or would have it been part of your mandate to analyze the culture and the information channeled by television throughout the world? What were people watching? what were the learning, what were the distrusting. Is it part of your mandate? Was it part of your mandate? I just take the example of television as a case. It's just to try to see the many different approaches and issues we can raise when trying to understand telecommunication and the world.
Thank you very much indeed, Boris. Dorian?
Yeah, thank you for that question. And I might ask my stats team to also jump in, because I think we used to also count the number of televisions and then, of course, computers in the household. Keep in mind, ITU has three focus areas: radio communications, as you know, standardization, and of course, development. And over the years, we have seen when it comes to telecommunications and access to the internet, that what we're offering is not simply a technical tool. We're actually offering something that is life-changing. And of course, I think the whole global community is very focused on the 17 goals and the 2030 agenda.
That's why I mentioned TV. TV,
of course, changed the world. And of course, television was also an incredibly powerful tool during the pandemic for those that didn't have access to a smartphone or a computer. They actually went to community centers and had educational learnings through TV. So certainly TV is still an important tool for information sharing and for learning. But I think what we have seen through the internet, and of course there are challenges around the internet and misinformation and some other things that we've seen throughout this pandemic. But what's critical here is that in each and every one of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, connectivity can be the most powerful tool to help accelerate, whether we're talking about education, healthcare, gender, infrastructure, climate. Definitely connectivity has a role to help achieve those goals. So it's that sort of life-changing impact that it can have on people's lives. But did you want to comment, Terry, please?
Thank you. Just to say that we indeed continue to collect data on TV, radio, household with a TV set. And we have, this is really only the tip of the iceberg when it comes to our data. We have much richer data to better understand indeed the why people don't connect, why they connect, what do they do online. And we try to map this ecosystem. We still have a lot of gaps, unfortunately.
Great, thank you very much. Well, I can't see any more hands raised virtually there, but I can tell you, as I say, that the information, of course, will be widely available to you. The press release has been released in all six UN languages, so you may refer to that, and we will also be able to furnish you with other collateral as well, such as video and these slides that you've seen today will also be posted as well. So I would like to thank everybody for joining. I also invite you to visit our website, which is www.itu.int, and specifically here you'll find it on /facts and figures 2021. So again, allow me to thank all of you for being here today, and of course thank our ASG for her remarks. And as I say, we're here to answer any of your questions. And please don't hesitate to reach out to the contact details on the press release, and we will be more than happy to answer your questions. So thank you very much indeed. You've got a slide there with my name, my Max Jacobson Gonzalez. Monica Albertini is also contact for you. And from us, that's all for today. But we look forward to catching up with you again very soon. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah. Okay, well, I've just, apologies for that. I was just wrapping up just a little bit too soon, but we've got a video to play you to leave you with. So we hope you enjoy this. Thank you. And lots of interesting facts and figures. Thanks very much indeed.
New data by the International Telecommunication Union, ITU, reveal that 4.9 billion people are online in 2021, while an estimated 37% of the world's population, or 2.9 billion people, have never used the internet. Even among the 4.9 billion people counted as using the internet, many hundreds of millions may only go online infrequently, and so are not able to make the most of its power to transform lives. Of the 2.9 billion still offline, 96% live in developing countries. ITU data also reveal that people in urban areas are twice as likely to use the internet than those in rural areas, 76% compared to 39%. A generational gap also exists. 71% of young people are using the internet, compared to 57% of the rest of the population. Although narrowing globally, large gender digital gaps remain in poorer countries. Globally, 62% of men use the internet, compared to 57% of women. Whereas in the least developed countries, only 19% of women are connected, compared to 31% of men. Let's not forget that among those using the internet, infrequent use, the need to rely on shared devices, slow speeds and high connection costs mean many are not able to realize its full potential. We cannot close the digital divide if we cannot measure it. Data is key to make informed decisions to drive digital transformation and transform the lives of underserved communities. For more information, visit www.itu.int/factsandfigures2021 and download the ITU Facts and Figures.
Thank you very much indeed. And that brings our press conference to a close. Thank you.